DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
When we get up and we read, for instance, the Old Testament, that is not just for the Jews, that God spoke to all of mankind. He spoke to Africa, he spoke to China, he spoke to India, he spoke to America. God spoke to all of mankind. When we hear God speak to Moses, and particularly today, during this time of Lent, God is going to give his commandments. God's Ten Commandments aren't just for the Jews. So that's so important to keep in mind, because when he spoke to the Jews through Moses and the Decalogue, and I'd like to read them today, and the church wants all her children all over the world to hear it. And then when Paul talks about the next one, who picks up on the Decalogue but Jesus? Then Jesus is going to say, you have heard Moses say, you have heard it from the law, but I say. So who is then Jesus talking to? He's talking to the whole world. And so that when Paul, he might write to the Corinthians, but he is talking not just to the Greeks, he's talking to the whole world. The frustration that I find is today's lesson is so important, because who is going to hear this? Catholic priests are going to get up in the pulpit and read these words of Scripture that are going to be at the Mass. But most of the people have not been evangelized to the extent where they know the Scriptures. Protestants many, many times know these Scriptures, but they don't have the sacraments. Catholics have the sacraments, but they don't understand the Scriptures. So they don't know, they'll be at Mass, but they won't know what they mean. And until you put them both together, you really don't know what today's Scriptures are. For instance, let's do the Decalogue first. What does God say? God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Is that just the Jews? No, all of us. I brought you out of the house of slavery. You shall have no gods except me. I am the only God. When you believe and you say, as a Catholic, as a Protestant, as an Orthodox, and as a Jew, there is no other God but the one God. And as a Muslim, you say, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but God. There is only one God. You are listening to God. That's what God said about God to Moses. You shall have no God except me. You shall not make yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything in heaven and on earth, beneath or the waters underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to any of them no other God but me, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, and I punish the father's faults on the sons and the grandsons and the great-grandsons and those who hate me, but I show kindness to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, you foolish people who say that Catholics are carving images to God and bowing down before them, that's just not true. So stop that kind of nonsense. We have one God as Catholics, and that's the truth. And stop peddling that kind of division among people. Say that we worship statues. We don't. That's not at all. You carry pictures of your father and mother in your wallet. You have images and pictures at home of your family. That's what these are. They're members of our family, and they're saints in heaven. And we have their pictures and their images. But we all point to the one God. Stop that division. Now he goes on. You shall not utter the name of the Lord your God in vain and misuse it. For the Lord will not leave unpunished the man who utters his name in misuse. You know, that's one we should all pay attention to. The oaths and the name of God and the vilification of God's name in traffic and yelling and screaming at one another and swearing oaths and the misuse we put to God's name every day. The foulness of our mouths and the blasphemies that come out of our mouths, that is a serious commandment. This is what God said. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God is really, really serious about these commandments. Honor your father and your mother, says the Lord, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That fourth commandment brings also with it a tremendous blessing. Of all the shattered commandments that we live in, the family is so broken and so utterly being destroyed. This commandment, because fathers aren't being honorable and mothers aren't being honorable, we have children who dishonor parents and they don't even teach them. And the terrible brokenness of families. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, Lord, how we are abusing your law. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. How we are so used to lying and deceiving, especially advertising, horrible deceits that we have. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his servant, man, woman, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything of that, anything that is his. What a horrible mess we've made of that. Because preaching that's what God is saying to the entire world. Thank you, God, for having spoken, not to the Jews, but through them to all of us. Now, when God then came, he came into our world, and this is what we teach as Christians, and it's a very important teaching. He came and spoke through Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He came and he spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Moses and the law. But now, in the gospel, here's the testimony of John. Now, this is so important of what he's saying to every Christian today. This is the word of God as it comes to us from the gospel of John. This is the good news. 13th to the 25th verse. Just before the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting at their counting there, making a whip out of some cords, he drove them out of the temple, cattle and sheep, as well as scattering the money changers' coins, knocked down their tables and overturned them, and said to those who were selling pigeons, "Take all these things out of here and stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will devour me." The Jews intervened and said, "What sign can you give us to justify what you have done?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this sanctuary. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days?" Now, listen, please, this is so important. But he was speaking of the sanctuary that was his body. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words he had said. The body of Jesus, suffered, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. That's the scripture of the second chapter of John, beginning with that 13th verse. That same body, listen to this, every Christian, that same body is your body. By baptism, you have been united with that body, because there is only one life, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, that is spoken to the Jews, and they have their own synagogues. But we who are Christians all are the body of Christ. If you're a Protestant, and many times because of the preachers and the scriptures, that they know that. They know that they have been baptized into Christ Jesus. But today, when they go to their temple, when they go to their sanctuary, when they go to their church, they won't have the Mass. They won't have the sacraments. Now, they'll know that as they come into the temple, the desecration of the body is their living selves. And so when Paul is talking to the Jews or the Greeks, he's not talking to Jews and Greeks only. He's talking to us. We are the body of Christ. While the Jews demand miracles and the Greeks look for wisdom, here are we preaching a crucified Christ. To the Jews, an obstacle. To the Greeks, a lack of wisdom and stupidity. Christ is who we preach. We're preaching Christ. And, you know, when you suffer, when you undergo obstacles and suffering in your life, that's Him in you and you in Him. The temple that you bring is yourself. And so, Catholics, when you go to communion, the desecration of the temple is the desecration of your heart. It's interior. Where is the sanctuary? You can go to communion and you can receive communion, but is your heart full of lust? Is your heart full of hatred, jealousy, judgment, unforgiveness? Where is the desecration of the sacrament? It's you. You are the person. And so this Lenten season, now becomes not a matter of your missing mass only. It becomes a matter of your desecration of the sanctuary, because you are the body of Christ. Why is the temple being so desecrated? Because the Ten Commandments are not being lived in your heart. The first tabernacle to be desecrated is not the tabernacle in the church. The first host to be thrown to the ground and stepped on and desecrated is not that host. Yes, that's the sacrament. And we all would, especially those who believe that the Eucharist is the body of Christ. We believe in the sacrament, but do we believe that we are the temple? That's what Jesus is teaching in this second chapter of John's Gospel. That's what Paul is teaching in his epistles. I will suffer, I will die, and I will rise, Jesus says. And Jesus says that to Protestants. And somehow, what I really believe is happening in this Lenten season is, you know, Scott Hahn, he understood the scriptures. And when he one day, for the first time, walked into a Catholic church in Milwaukee and saw the Mass, all of a sudden, everything began to fit for him. If you are evangelized as a Protestant, you need the sacraments. But many times we Catholics who have the sacraments have not been evangelized, and we don't know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, then you realize when the two come together and said, oh, when you asked me what's on my mind today, I thought, I wonder how many priests are going to be reading these scriptures to people at Mass who hardly recognize that they, not just Jesus, suffers and dies and rises. And not only did that temple in Jerusalem get destroyed, and it was knocked down, but he, the living temple, Jesus Christ, was crucified on Calvary, died, and rose. That the Mass is Jesus Christ suffering on Calvary, dying on Calvary, and rising. That this Lent is the journey of Jesus in them, in my suffering, my dying, and my rising. The sanctuary is me. In many places of the world today, in Syria, in Libya, you know that story, Chris, about those 20 Coptic Christians, Jesus suffering and dying and rising. That's the story of those Coptic Christians. And then that man that you told me about, that saw them praying and suffering and dying, that's the Mass. That's what Paul says, Christ crucified. And we see it, and the events of our life, this Lent that's going on in the suffering and the dying and the rising of Jesus Christ, not only in Libya, not only in Syria, not only in Nigeria, but every place in the world where Mass is being offered. And every place in the world that Christ is living and dying and rising again. It's just too bad that Protestants who understand that don't know that we have the sacraments. And it's really sad. That's what's on my mind today. That we who have the sacraments don't understand the Gospels and the evangelization. And how important it would be at this time of history to pray that Jesus, and what must be the Father's suffering this Lent, as he looks down at this little globe, that he loves every single child in it and on it. And what he has done for our sanctification and our redemption by sending Jesus into the world. And what the Spirit is going through, the groaning and the agony as he comes to infest, involve, inspire every human heart to love, to bring about that God loves every human on his third Sunday of Lent. And his words are so powerful and sometimes so unheard and so misunderstood.
Monsignor, the call for the new evangelization that St. John Paul really exhorted the world, as he put it, it was a call to recatechize those who are already baptized because they really don't know who they are or what happened to them at baptism. And that, as you were speaking, it made me realize that do we really appreciate what it means when we hear at the Mass, through him, with him, and in him? I mean, for Catholics out there that will go to Mass today and the days that follow, I mean, do they really understand when the priest says, through him, with him, in him? What does that mean?
Yeah. What I was really pondering is, that whole movement of the desecration of the sanctuary that Jesus was driving out, the money changers, and those people who were turning his temple, his father's temple. This was meant to be a temple. You have changed my father's house. It's a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a marketplace. That my mind, my heart, my feelings, my desires, that's what is the sanctuary. And that is the desecration. That when he comes, and he's using the whip to cleanse his temple. And is he going to have to do that again to me, to people, to our generation, to the world? How do we seem to not understand the interiority of this message? It's right there. And where is the temple? It's our hearts. It's our minds. We are the temple. He has come to bring salvation into us, not just our minds and our hearts, but our bodies, our persons. We are the people of God, the church of God. It's the people. And the evangelization is the union of us as a family and the people of God. That, I believe, is really where that we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus are one with him. And he now, right now, as our head, is in heaven pleading for us. And during this Lenten season, the church, his bride, giving us the opportunity. I met another evangelizer yesterday in the airport, and he was coming back from someplace in Texas, and I was just coming back from someplace in Wisconsin. You know, and we can go all over, but we're both coming back to the Diocese of Scranton. And he was bemoaning the kind of preaching, the kind of teaching that's going on here in Scranton. I don't know what's going on in Omaha, on the pulpits there. But I don't know if the people going to the churches in the Diocese of Scranton are really hearing him from their pulpits. Yeah, this I believe, and I believe even deeper, I believe there are many Protestants who are really getting the message. and unable to go to Mass because their leaders haven't really, like Scott Hahn, gone into a Catholic church and discovered the sacraments. We who have the sacraments don't have that central message of the interiority of the gospel. Yes, through him and with him and in him. But he is such a patient God and a loving God. And the Holy Spirit is really working because they're God. And I don't think we want to kind of throw up our hands and say, oh, no. We want to just keep going day by day. And I thank you for your work, Chris, in bringing this message into that digital sea. Thank you.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. 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 God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.